You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, that's the really big story. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. You just heard it in Christine Sports Center. Giannis Antetokounmpo, according to Woj, the Bucks are preparing to be without him for at least the start of their series against Indiana. He missed two games against the Heat in the first round last season, too. They lost that series 4-1 as the number one seed in the East. The Bucks' odds to win the series at ESPN Bet have moved from minus 155 to minus 130 with this news from Woj. Embo and I have made it clear it's almost too easy and too obvious to believe. Some things just seem too easy that they wind up not going that way. Right now, picking Indiana to win this series feels like the easiest thing in the world to do.
It feels like the easiest thing in the world to do, but I'll double down because I thought Indiana was going to win the series before news of this broke, and that's because I am totally, completely out on the Milwaukee Bucks as a contender. Indiana is not quite the team it was around the play-in when Tyrese Halliburton was garnering MVP consideration, but they're still plenty good and an offensive behemoth. Whereas the Bucks, when Giannis is not on the floor, plays to the extent of their net rating worse than a non-playoff team. I mean, they're one of the 5 or 10 worst teams in the NBA when Giannis is not on the floor. It's become clear to me that Damian Lillard just wasn't the fit we thought, we hoped he would be. And he most definitely is not capable of carrying this team offensively against a Pacers team for which you're going to have to score 130 points to beat them. I would favor Indiana to win this series in a lengthy series, 6 or 7 games, provided that Giannis does not return to the player that he's been all season long.
Yeah, I think it goes that way as well. So there you have it. And Giannis's name is going to come up. So let me explain to everybody exactly how this worked. So for the third year now, I am privileged to have a vote for all of the NBA's postseason awards. And they gave me that initially because I became the host of NBA Countdown, and they did not take it away this year, which I'm thrilled for. And I take this incredibly seriously. So I have this big packet of information, and I've been ready. And they did give us a heads up that when they sent out all of the, you know, the ballots, there was going to be a pretty quick turnaround. So I knew that was coming. I awoke to the ballot in my inbox this morning. It came sometime after I went to sleep last night. And the deadline to return it is 6 p.m. tonight.
Wow.
So I have to get this thing turned around. So I know most of what I want to do, but I thought we could go through this together and you guys could help me put together my postseason ballot and let's see how we do. The first is Coach of the Year. We get 3 choices. I get to pick a first place, a second place, and a third place. Who should be the coach of the year, Hembo?
Mark Daigneault, Oklahoma City. I mean, that team is super young, as we know. Came into the season with basically like play-in expectations. That's where they were a year ago. He might have the MVP of the league on his team. They don't even have a legitimate center, and they're the one seed in the West. I think it's pretty clear that he should be first.
I agree completely. I won't even ask the guys because it feels like a ridiculously easy pick. Who's second?
How do you feel about Joe Mazzulla? A 64-win team, one of the 10 best teams in the history of the regular season, assimilating very quickly Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday onto a roster that fell short last year in part because of him. I think Joe Mazzulla at least deserves to be one of the 3 people that you choose.
Cam?
Tibbs?
That was who I was thinking.
For 2?
I was thinking Tibbs 2 and Mazzulla 3.
Adrian Griffin's looking pretty good right now.
Shots fired.
Oh, that's well played.
There's my Sixers fan.
All right, so I was going Tibbs 2 and Mazzulla 3. Are we good with that?
Totally comfortable with that.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. We're going Tom Thibodeau 2, so after he's a drop-down menu here, Joe Mazzulla 3. Next, Clutch Player of the Year Award ballot. Legendary Lakers broadcaster Chick Hearn gave Jerry West the nickname Mr. Clutch for his extraordinary shooting at the end of close games. And so in that honor, they have identified players who are clutch. and I can vote for three players in that. I have a packet of information on that. Do you want me to come back to this?
You can, but I'm curious. They've already provided you like a short list of players that you can choose from, or can you choose from the field?
They have given us a list. The 30 head coaches were asked to identify five players they consider to be the top players who come through in the clutch.
Got it.
Coaches were not permitted to select a player from their own team. So there are a lot of names here. Do you want me to? I'll read them quickly.
Sure.
Giannis, Devin Booker, Jalen Brunson, Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Luka Doncic, KD, Anthony Edwards, De'Aaron Fox, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton, Kyrie Irving, LeBron, Jokic, Kawhi, Damian Lillard, Malik Monk, DeJounte Murray, Jamal Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Jason Tatum, and Jalen Williams and Trae Young.
DeMar DeRozan would be my pick, and I think is very likely to win the award. He scored 182 clutch time points this season. Only Steph Curry scored more. His team was plus 94 when he was on the floor in clutch time. I think you could give the award to Jokic. He'd probably be two on my list. But DeRozan, given what that team did and given the fact that he drove them in clutch time, I think he'll win the award, and I think he'd get my pick.
And Curry three?
I'm fine with that because, you know, Curry's clutch numbers this year are better than they've been in the past, and he's been asked to carry such a huge chunk of that load for them. I'd be all good with those three, one, two, three. But, I mean, Cam, do you have any objections to those three of mine?
I don't have any, like, clutch time numbers in front of me, but Anthony Edwards, I think, is, like, got to be on the list. He has the two plays of the season with the block and the dunk, and they didn't really drop off too much after Cat went down. So I think he's at least in consideration. He's at a fantastic season.
Well, he's in consideration for a lot of things.
A lot of different things. Yeah,
clutch player of the year is a different. I have a packet here.
My issue with Anthony Edwards is that, like, I also looked at the team stuff, and Minnesota was minus 34 in clutch time this season. Mm. And so I do think the team does matter here. We're at the very top of that leaderboard, one, two, and three are the Bulls, the Nuggets, and the Mavs. So I think choosing the most impactful clutch player from the most clutch teams or the best clutch teams is probably the best way to go. Although I do think anecdotally, you're 100% right. Anthony Edwards was unbelievable in spasms of greatness during clutch time this year.
So here are some of the numbers if you want them. Steph Curry leads the NBA in total clutch points. De'Aaron Fox has the most games of the season with at least 10 points in the fourth quarter. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of two players with 100 points and 55% shooting in clutch time this year. Jokic is the other. DeMar DeRozan is second in total clutch time points and first in total fourth quarter points. LeBron James leads the NBA in fourth quarter points per game. So we're going DeRozan first.
I think DeRozan should win that award.
Jokic second, Steph third.
I'll go with that. I mean, the Nuggets shot 53% as a team in clutch time. He just guarantees you a great look. I think the 1-2-3 as you have it is really, really strong.
Okay, I feel good about it. Sixth man of the year. Voting for three players using the drop-down list. I can read you some stats if you want them. Who do you have?
Malik Monk's going to win this award by a long shot. If you look at the betting market, he is the favorite by, like, you have to lay $100 to win 20 at most markets. He's going to be first, and I think Naz Reid would probably be second on my list. By the way, he was magnificent after Karl Anthony Towns went down, but I think Malik Monk pretty clearly is going to win this award. You have a pretty difficult time finding anyone else who even approaches him at number one.
Yeah, leads the NBA in total points and assists off the bench. Naz Reid, Bobby Portis, and Norman Powell and Bogdan Bogdanovic are the other names that are here. So we'll vote for Monk one for sure.
And I think Naz Reid is pretty clearly second for me.
Fair enough.
Do they give you three options?
Three options.
Okay,
not three options, but third place.
Right, that's what I mean. Sorry. Yeah. And then Bobby Portis I would probably have third. Either Portis or Norman Powell, but Bobby Portis, a slightly better season in my opinion.
It's a lot easier that I don't have to use a mouse.
Ah.
Like I can actually
scroll hate the mouse.
With my finger. I'm down on the mouse. Who did we say we were going to go with third? We're going to vote for Powell or Portis?
Bobby Portis, I think, had a slightly better year than Norman Powell.
Yeah, ranked second in total points off the bench this season.
He was really good.
So there's sixth man of the year. Next, rookie of the year. There isn't any question who's first.
There is no question who's first.
I got that. So Wembanyama. So is Chet second?
I don't think there's any question about who's second either. Okay. Chet had a great season. In almost any other year, I think Chet would have won the thing.
Okay, and then?
I probably would vote for Brandon Pajemski from Golden State because he is a common denominator in so many of their best lineups, and to be able to from year one impact that team in a positive way the year that he did is really rare. He was a 19th pick in the draft. The other player I like is Amen Thompson in Houston, who had a really good rookie season, but because of what Pajemski did on a good team, I think he'd probably get my vote. a lot of people like Jaime Jaquez from Miami, a really good late-round pick out of UCLA. Pajemski would be my choice.
Okay, he leads the NBA in charges drawn this year, leads rookies in assist-to-turnover ratio. I will go with that. Again, I was expecting to have, you know, an opportunity to really go over all these notes and everything, which, and again, this needs to be done quickly. So I wanted to get everyone in on this, and I just thought it would be interesting for folks to hear. All right, now we got all rookie, first and second team.
Oof.
Let me save those and come back to it. I don't think that'll be as interesting to hear.
There were not 10 good rookies this year.
It's not letting me fast forward to the next one. Should we just talk about MVP then? Because that's what people want to hear. And I'll just fill this one out later by myself.
Sure.
But let's talk about MVP.
It makes you go in order, and you can't circle back.
It makes you go in order. So I see. It won't let me fast forward to next without. Yeah, it says please select a player from each drop-down list. So I can't go on.
I see.
And come back and do this one later.
I'm dying to hear who you chose as your MVP. As of yesterday,
well, let's do it.
You had not decided for sure.
I haven't decided for sure.
Let's
now.
Do it.
Can I make my case for Gilgeous Alexander?
Make it.
This is a team of which nothing was expected. He is overwhelmingly the best player and the leader on that team. He averaged 30 points a game this year for a team that was, by a margin of 2 years, the youngest one seed ever. You made this point to me the other day. Of the three youngest teams in the NBA this season, two of them, I think, had the worst records in the sport,
mm-hmm.
and the third of them is OKC, who has the number one seed in the West. I don't want to allow this to be a narrative award. I will vote for Jokic if you tell me he is definitively more valuable. It is not Luka. It is not Jalen Brunson, as much as all my Knicks fan friends want me to vote for Brunson, and he had a magnificent and very, very worthy of consideration season. But to me, it's either SGA or Jokic.
Yes, those are the final two for me as well. This is how I view the candidacy of Jokic. He's basically Patrick Mahomes, where he's the best player, and it's obvious that every year he's going to be the best player, but that does not necessarily mean that he had the best season, or as you would put it, the most valuable season, because we think those are different things. The case for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a really strong one. I think there are two right answers to this award. Not one. There are two. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's case, I think, is a little bit more qualitative. But by the way, he's not a neutral or a negative as a defender. He's a plus defender. Mm-hmm. He led the NBA in steals, averaging 30 points a game, as you said, on a team for which nothing was expected. They're the number one seed in the West over Jokic's team. By the way, they don't even have a center on their roster. And the team around him isn't nearly as good as Jokic's team. To me, Jokic is the most outstanding player in the league, and by either by most traditional metrics or by most advanced metrics, he's going to get my vote because of that. But I'm not going to sit here and rebuke you if you're going to put SGA first on your list.
Cam, who do you vote for?
Jokic.
Tell me why.
Because he's the best player.
He's the best. He's just simply the best player.
Yeah, I think at some point we're going to get voter fatigue with him, and people will get voter fatigue with him. I don't think we're there yet. I think after the third MVP, maybe we'll start to... I mean, that's kind of what happened. He could have won MVP last year, too. He could have won four in a row. Embiid had a fantastic season, but you very easily could have made the case for Jokic three in a row and now potentially four in a row if that had happened. So I think at some point people might get tired of it, but he is, I think, overwhelmingly been the best player this season, even though they didn't end up with the one seed. Go with him.
Pineapple Jack, if I gave you a vote for MVP of the NBA this season, who gets it?
Jokic.
Jokic. No, and you said it without any hesitation. Because? Can he jump on a mic? Could that work? Go ahead, jump in here, Pineapple Jack. Why is Jokic the MVP?
By the way, I think Jack probably watches more hoops than anybody on the hashtag crew.
My thought process on it is that it's the most valuable player award, and I know a lot of people look at it differently. Some people vote for the best player that year. I vote for it as who is the most valuable to their team.
And so why is that not SGA?
I just think that they have a better supporting cast. If you take SGA off that team, I think Jalen Williams could step up and play a role similar to what he
really?
Did. Really? Maybe not as good, but I think with the supporting cast around them, other guys could step up, and I think they'd still be at least a playoff team. The Nuggets, I think, would drop a little further if you took Jokic off his gravity, the way he plays the game. He makes that team what they are.
Okay, fair enough. I will make my decision by the time the show is over today. In the meantime, we will busy ourselves with Sneaky Hembo and trivia. Go.
Group trivia. There are three quarterbacks that have these things in common. They were drafted in the second round, and they won a Super Bowl. You're going to give me all three quarterbacks drafted in round two to win the Super Bowl as the starter. That is the group question today.
And the answer is next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around
different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, there is no one sneakier than our man Hembo. Group trivia.
There are three quarterbacks that have these things in common. They were drafted in the second round, and they won a Super Bowl as a starter. You're going to give me all three quarterbacks.
Okay. So there's two of them that we know with certainty. We went through these. Who came up with Favre back there? Because I hadn't thought of him, and that's a shame on me. But which one of you two guys came up with that? Because you just threw Favre at me at the very end.
We were kicking it around back here.
Okay, it's unquestionably effort. Right. There is no question Brett Favre was the second-round pick.
That's correct, in 1996.
Excellent. Yeah. He was picked one spot before Browning Nagel was selected by the New York Jets.
That sounds like a law firm.
Another one, and I remember this vividly. We were already in the Mike and Mike, doing Mike and Mike in those days. In the draft in which Michael Vick went first and LaDainian Tomlinson went fifth, Drew Brees was the first pick of the second round. You did not specify that the quarterback had to win it with that team, right?
Right.
Okay, then Brees definitely won a Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yes, that's correct. Drew Brees drafted in 2001, and I need to correct myself. Brett Favre was drafted in 1991. 96 was the year he won the Super Bowl.
Got it. Fair enough. Okay, so now we got those two. So what are the names we have on the table? I don't remember where Joe Theismann was drafted. I don't remember. I think Ken Stabler might have been a second-round pick. And then the wild card in all of this is Staubach. Staubach was a Heisman winner and was a superstar at Navy. But because he had to serve the five-year naval commitment, is it possible he fell to the second round? It is. I mean, I was a little kid when that happened. I feel like I should know, but I don't. So I think, guys, it's one of those three, but I don't know which one.
You sounded pretty confident about Stabler originally.
So they had, when they drafted Stabler, they had a very good quarterback, Daryl LaMonica, who took them to their first Super Bowl, the second Super Bowl. And Stabler didn't take over for a couple of years. LaMonica, who they called the Mad Bomber, was there for a while. And then Stabler came in. Stabler went to Alabama. He wasn't as highly touted as Namath. You're not going to give me Namath because he was drafted somewhere else in the NFL draft. Namath was the second pick in the AFL draft. I'm just making sure Namath is not,
it is not
the
Namath.
Answer here. Okay, because that's not where he went. Okay, so
I feel it didn't. I feel like I've seen Staubach on lists of like draft steals or like guys that fell or something.
It could
like
be.
That.
He would have fallen for that. That would have been the reason he fell. He was certainly a college superstar. Again, he won the Heisman. But because he had to wait 5 years, He may not have been a first-round pick. You might have that one right. Do we want to go with that? Bubba, what do you like?
I mean, you seem pretty confident about Stabler at first, so I'm willing to roll the dice with Greeny here.
All right. We're rolling the dice with me, which as a general rule is never a good idea. We're going to go with the snake, Ken Stabler.
And the correct answer is Ken Stabler.
Yeah! Yes.
Well done. Don't listen to me. Well done.
Where someone look up Theismann. Where was Theismann drafted?
Theismann was a fourth. Okay. And Staubach's draft situation's weird. He was drafted in the 16th round in the AFL.
Wow.
And the Cowboys drafted him in the 10th round. That was in 1964 in both cases.
Round.
So he wasn't even close.
And he didn't play, of course, until 69.
What a steal.
Right, because he had to wait 5 years. Well, let me ask you a question. So that brings up an interesting question, which I wasn't planning on, but it does. If right now you could draft Caleb Williams, I'm just making this up, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, whoever it is, but they had to serve a 5-year naval commitment, would you do it? Would you take them in the first round? Would you use your first round pick on a player who can't play for 5 years? Now, there have been players who came out. There was a player last year, his name just jumped out of my head, who came from one of the armed forces, from one of the academies, and was drafted, and they made like a special provision for him to be able to be allowed to play. It was a very big back and forth. Congress actually got involved.
Wow.
But whatever. I'm just setting up that straw man. Hembo, if you could draft Andrew Luck, but you had to wait 5 years for him to play, would you do it?
Absolutely. To draft Captain Andrew Luck? Of course. Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck only had, what, a 6-year NFL career? But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I think a little more than that. Did he only play 6 years?
Remind me what
Seven.
The territorial draft was, when you got to reserve a player.
Yeah.
That was in the NBA, right?
That was in the NBA. That's how so first of all, the territorial draft existed prior to the draft. Baseball players used to get assigned to wherever they were. So Hank Greenberg, the reason I know this, is my father told me the story a million times. Hank Greenberg is from the Bronx and would have gone to the Yankees, but the Yankees had a first baseman named Lou Gehrig, which is how he wound up in Detroit and became, you know, one of the great left-handed hitters in American League history. Hank Greenberg, obviously someone very near and dear because he was a Greenberg from the Bronx, as was my father. People ask me all the time if we were related, and we were not. But my dad was a huge fan. Despite being a diehard Yankee fan, my dad loved Hank Greenberg.
Great player.
So that's how that was. In football, I don't really know how it worked before the common draft. I don't think it was a territorial draft in pro football, but I'm not 100% sure.
I don't remember that as well. I know in hockey you can draft a high schooler and have their rights through college, and that's also the way it works sometimes internationally. So what you're suggesting is not like totally out of the realm of sports. It does happen in other
baseball.
Sports.
Is it still a collegiate commitment? Is 3 years? You either get drafted out of high school or you have to go to college for 3 years.
Yeah, you have to choose one or the other. You can't be drafted and then go play in college.
Understood. But now, if you were a baseball team, would you draft a pitcher? Let's say the rule was you could draft him, and then you would own his draft rights in 3 years when he finished his college. Would you do that?
You would do that. The Yankees actually drafted Gerrit Cole out of high school. He spurned them to go to UCLA. They wound up having to sign him years later and give him $300 million.
So that didn't work out for them. I do like that plan. So anyway, it's just sort of an interesting question of the way
like when you're drafting a quarterback in round one, you should be making a 5-year commitment. It's a great point that you're making, because much too often we think about the NFL draft as a plug and play thing. Like in reality, the smart teams have a 3-4-5-year plan to which the quarterback is merely one piece. So I think the question that you ask, even though it's not, you know, going to happen the way that you asked it because of the military stuff, is actually the way that teams should think about their draft. But in most cases, GMs don't have the kind of job security to pull that off.
That's my point. I don't agree. You are unquestionably drafting that guy for the next coach and the next GM. If you use a first-round pick on someone who is not going to help your team for 5 years, in this day and age, they took Roger Staubach in the 10th round. It's a perfect example of that. Someone remind me of what happened with David Robinson. So David Robinson went to Navy. I want to say they made some special provision for him, but he did not go. I do not believe he went directly to San Antonio. Remind me of how that went.
He played. I'm sorry, he didn't play until he was 24 years old. He served for 2 years.
Yeah, there
the
was
first
some
special, 2 years of his career.
They made some. It wasn't 5 years in his case. They made like some provision.
It was two.
And he, you know, in basketball, it's a little different, I guess.
He also For all the people to have to fit into a submarine,
right.
David Robinson is 7 feet tall.
I actually remember those conversations taking place, that he was too tall to actually do. Like, you can be in the Navy and not be on a submarine. Like, there are things you can do in the Navy and not be in one. But I agree with you. Like, think how claustrophobic you would be in a submarine, much less being seven feet tall.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I have a hilarious picture. When we went down, when Dickie V was honored me by honoring me at his gala, 2018, I think it was, David Robinson was there, and I have a picture of Stace standing next to him, and it is a great picture.
Let me read his from his Wikipedia page. Robinson considered leaving the Academy after a second year before incurring an obligation to serve on active duty. He decided to stay after discussing with the superintendent the likelihood that his height would prevent him from serving at sea as an unrestricted line officer, which would be detrimental to his naval career and make it impossible for him to receive a commission at all. He was too tall for the subs.
That's quite a thing. He was too tall. Ed Too Tall Jones, he was too tall for the subs. Either way, I was able to get my NBA ballot fast-forwarded.
Wonderful.
Were we enjoying doing that together, Bubba? You want me to keep going? Because we're getting to some more interesting ones.
Which ones are we up to now?
I'm up to Defensive Player of the Year, but I mean, there can't be that many left. We're going to get to first, second, and third team All-NBA and MVP pretty quickly.
All right, we'll do a couple more.
Let's do Defensive Player of the Year. Is it Victor Wembanyama?
So I feel very strongly about this.
He led the NBA in blocks, over one block per game more than any other player. First rookie to lead in blocks per game in a season since Manute Bol. He had 4.81 steals plus blocks per game, the most in the season by any player since Ben Wallace.
So Rudy Gobert is going to win the award. He anchored the number one defense in the NBA. I have no objection with choosing Rudy Gobert. But Victor Wembanyama is the best defensive player in the NBA. He played on a bad team. But Victor Wembanyama, the differential between what the Spurs defense is when he's on the court versus off the court is equivalent to the best and worst defense in the NBA. That's how much of an impact he makes by himself.
How many games did he play?
Victor Wembanyama played, let me pull up his list.
That has to matter at least a little.
He played this season 71 games.
Okay, that's plenty of games. You want to reverse it? I was going to go Gobert. You want to go Wembanyama one?
Wembanyama is unquestionably the best defensive player in the NBA already. Unquestionably.
I think that's right.
He also impacts the perimeter more than Rudy Gobert does or can. Remember that 3-on-1 that he scuttled
by himself? Yeah.
That was not actually that uncommon. If you were to watch every Spurs possession on defense, I would confidently say that his presence deterred more drivers than Rudy Gobert's does by a long shot.
And then after that, it's either Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo.
I actually would have Herb Jones third, but I'm totally fine with Anthony Davis we're at third because of all the ways that he impacts the game. His paint defense this year was probably about as good as it's been in 5 years.
Yeah. All right, let me find...
He was outstanding this year on defense.
My drop-down list here, Anthony Davis.
You love a good mouse.
So that's... Yeah, I don't have to use a mouse on this one. Okay, here we go. 2023 NBA Most Valuable Player Award Ballot. See, Bubba, I promised you. So we get 10 points for first place, 7 points for second place, 5 points for third place, 3 points for fourth place, and 1 point for fifth place. To me, 1 and 2 are Jokic and SGA in either order. Who is it? Everyone in this room, I think, has told me Jokic.
I think we have to start from 5 and work our way back.
Why do we have to do that?
I just think I think the logic trail that you use will help you deduce who wins in terms of determining value. I think it's always easier to go 5-1 than 1-5.
Where does Brunson go?
I have him 5th on my ballot. I have him ahead of Jason Tatum. So I think 3 and 4 in some order is Luka and Giannis. I have Brunson 5, and then 3 and 4.
Why is Brunson not more valuable than Giannis?
He just didn't have close to as good of a season. Giannis just averaged 30 points on 60% shooting. It's literally never been.
I understand that, and his team significantly underachieved, and Jalen Brunson's team significantly overachieved despite all sorts of injury and everything else, and he carried them all by himself.
Yeah. If you want to put Brunson ahead of Giannis, I'm good with it, but it's narrative driven. It's not quantitative. It's not
numbers. I understand that. But his numbers are worthy of consideration.
And I have him 5th. They won one more game than Milwaukee. It's not like they, you know, it's
I
not
know
like
that,
they storm
but before the,
court. The
season began, if I told you the Knicks are going to win one more game than Milwaukee despite losing Julius Randle in January, what would you have said?
Yeah,
to me?
But Giannis also had to play 36 games for Doc Rivers, which counts for something.
No, yeah, but that's not fair.
Probably was his choice, by the way.
I understand that. Doc Rivers, look, I mean, I know he's easy to, and I know you the Philly guys don't like him, and I get that he's easy to pick on. He won a championship in Boston. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was Tibbs' boss. Tibbs was his assistant, not the other way around.
Yeah, so I have Brunson 5, and then in some order, Giannis and Luka 3 and 4.
Okay, I'm going Giannis 5. I'm going Brunson 4. I'm going, and I have planned this already, by the way, so I'm allowing myself to be talked out of these, and I'm going Doncic 3. So the question is then, is it SGA or is it? Come back on the microphone. Can we get a mic on? But Pineapple Jack
just wanders around the room.
He's pretty good. No, but Jack with the NBA stuff is
very good. Oh, very good.
Tell me again why Jokic is the MVP ahead of SGA.
I just think his impact on that Nuggets team is greater than SGA's on the Thunder team. I think the supporting cast for the Thunder would step up better into bigger roles if SGA were to be out. And I think Jokic is the most impactful player in the league. If we were going top five, I've thought about it a little bit. I would go Jokic 1. I would go SGA 2. I would go Luka 3, Jalen Brunson 4, and Giannis 5.
Well, that's exactly what I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally exactly what I have on
Great
my
minds.
Screen. Cam, we feel good about that?
I like it.
And Bubba, you're good with it?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably go SGA 1, but I'd certainly no issue.
There's a part of me that wants to vote SGA 1, and then there's a part of me that doesn't want to because I think my motives are nefarious, which is to say I am the one who sits here and rails against narrative-driven awards, which is, and I don't believe I have voter fatigue. I am more than happy to vote for Nikola Jokic. But I am afraid that part of my reasoning for giving the award to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in some deep recess of my mind is some fatigue relative to Jokic. So, it's just that SGA's team so exceeded expectation, and Jokic's team kind of played right to expectation.
Yeah, Oklahoma's just so young, and they're you know the youngest
so
team to
young.
Ever get that one seed. So I think that plays a factor.
So let's put aside for a moment just what we thought these teams would be entering the season, and look at what happened exactly. I'm going to give a number that supports Jack's opinion that Jokic is more valuable to his team than SGA is to his. So net rating is a stat that grades or measures how much better or worse you are than your opponent per 100 possessions. When Jokic is on the floor, the Nuggets are plus 11.8. When he's off, they're minus 8.6. That differential is 20.4, an absolute chasm. All right, the differential for SGA is 11.4. It's still really, really good. SGA is still incredibly valuable, by far the most valuable player on his team, one of the most valuable players in the league. But Jokic's difference is an absolute monster number. I mean, you're talking about the difference between the Celtics and the Hornets, that person being on the floor. Granted, Greeny, I grant you, they're young. And when it comes to OKC's preseason expectations, they were much lower than Denver. But I don't think you can make a strong argument that SGA had a more individually outstanding or valuable season than Jokic.
He led the league in estimated plus minus, which is a catch-all metric, which I have to confess I don't really know much about. But SGA led the league in that. Let me just read you some of the numbers on Jokic. Top five in the league in total points, total rebounds, total assists. The only other players ever to do that in a season were Jokic himself, Wilt Chamberlain 3 times, and Elgin Baylor once. Jokic was second in double-doubles and triple-doubles, trailing only Domantas Sabonis. He led the Nuggets in total points, rebounds, and assists. The 7th straight season he has done that, by far the longest run in NBA history. What else do I want to tell you? I mean,
he's the best player.
And I would argue it's more impressive.
He's the best player. But again, I need to go back. I need to stick with my principles. It's not the best player. We're not voting for who the best player is. Everyone would start a team with Nikola Jokic if you could start a player with one team. It's who was the most valuable. And I'm not saying that makes the answer SGA, but I'm saying it can't just be, well, the other guy's a better player, so we're voting for him. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. If you were to, let's do the thought exercise. If you were to swap their circumstances, what would have happened this year?
Yeah,
would their teams have looked like?
Yeah, I mean, OKC would have gotten more better than Denver would have gotten.
They would have gotten than Denver.
Denver would have gotten worse, and OKC would have gotten better.
He's the best player.
He's the best player. Yes, he dominates games.
Last week, you just chastised voters for not giving LeBron an MVP in whatever it was, 15 years, right? Because he's been the best player so often. Let's not make that same mistake if you genuinely believe that Jokic is the best player.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to go Jokic 1. We're going to go SGA 2. We have one thing left to do, and that is all NBA. First, second, and third teams. We'll do those and much more next. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny.
Brandon this morning, the same man that we made fun of last week for eating a vat of wonton soup and a roll of Lifesavers because he said, quote, Greeny, I'm on a diet. What were you eating?
Hard-boiled eggs.
How many hard-boiled eggs did you eat?
5.
And what was that you had sitting on the plate next to the hard-boiled eggs that you were dipping them in?
Mayonnaise.
This is Greeny.
That's our guy, Brandon. We have just the most ridiculous little dysfunctional hashtag family working here, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Hembo, Cam, Bubba with us this morning. Pineapple Jack is in. I got my NBA ballot. Yeah.
By the way, I just remembered, Jack, this is a really, really big day for you.
It is.
Tell us why.
It's my 3rd anniversary.
Of what?
Dating my girlfriend.
Oh.
That's why I got the haircut, go out to dinner tonight.
What's the plan? We're dying to know.
We're going
to
go out for a nice steak dinner. And
he does like steak.
It does like steak lunches, too.
We found that out when Hembo was having him over one time for lunch, and he said, what do you want? And Jack said, how about steak?
Understated.
I heard that lunch never ended up happening.
It did not
happen?
No.
You didn't have the lunch?
Still haven't eaten lunch with Jack.
Because he demanded steak?
Well, no. Me asking for steak did not happen.
I was present.
I was asked what my favorite food is.
Those are really interchangeable questions in that context.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're coming over for lunch. What do you like for lunch? Steak?
Yes. That was not the framing.
What was the framing?
It was the framing.
What's your favorite food?
No, it's not the framing.
I'm an honest man.
You're missing the context here, like usual. Tell us what the plan is, though, tonight. Do you have gifts prepared? Do you have surprises in the offing? Like, what's going on?
We've exchanged gifts.
Already?
And I, again, shot 100% from the field. It was a good year.
I think you should join the hashtag crew for real and get a little mustache going.
Yeah, here. No, it's
shave
horrible.
That beard.
Have you seen the two of them with their mustaches?
Oh, I think it's great.
Oh, why?
Thank you,
of course
Jack.
You do.
You should do it too. Let's go Three Musketeers.
Seeing
you think that's great.
Yeah, it's just awful. Okay, we got one thing left to do. For those of you who are just joining us, the NBA. I am privileged and proud to be a voter for their postseason awards, and they had given us a heads up that for reasons, I'm not exactly sure what they are, but whatever they are, that the ballots were going to be sent to us and the turnaround time was going to be really quick. And they weren't kidding. My ballot came while I was sleeping last night, and it needs to be in by 6 o'clock this evening. So we have been filling it out live here on the air. I had prepared most of it anyway, but we've been going through it live because I thought it might be interesting for you, if you're listening to our conversation, to hear how the ballot works. And we've gone through a lot of it. For the record, we voted Jokic number one at MVP. We voted SGA number two, Luka three, Jalen Brunson four, and Giannis Antetokounmpo five. Here's where we stand. All that is left are the three All-NBA teams. And these are important. The reason I take this as seriously as I do is because players have huge amounts of money riding on this. And with that thought in mind, I commend the NBA for changing this to positionless voting. So in previous years, I had to vote for a center on each of the teams. And I faced then the decision of, with Jokic and Embiid so incredibly worthy of being on the first team, did I bump one of them to second team to make them the all second team center? And the problem with that is, once you do that, if you put let's just say Jokic on the first team and the second team is Embiid, then you can put the third best center on there as the third team center. If you put both of them on the first team, because they both deserve to be first team All-NBA players, then you put the third best guy on the second team, and now you're putting the fourth best guy on the third team. And there's huge amounts of money. You are costing someone that spot. So it was a difficult decision to make in those days, and they've taken that problem off our hands. So our first team All-NBA is Giannis. This is not in order. There is no order. Giannis, Tatum, Jokic, SGA, and Luka. My second team is Jalen Brunson, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, and now I'm stuck. I am stuck between Steph, LeBron. I think Tyrese Halliburton deserves some consideration here. Jaylen Brown has to make, at minimum, the third team. Domantas Sabonis is a player no one ever talks about.
You mentioned Kawhi?
Did I not mention Kawhi?
Kawhi's up there,
Leonard
too.
Kawhi Leonard had a fabulous season.
Mm-hmm.
So who deserves, he just brought up Devin Booker. So, I mean, there are a lot of great players in the league. Who deserves that final spot on the second team?
I think Kawhi Leonard is the best player of those, of that group. It's very challenging, though. I think the first nine are actually fairly easy. Bubba, what do you think? Cam, what do you think? Is there a 10th guy here that pretty clearly and neatly fills out the second team?
Yeah, I mean, you can make arguments for all of them. That's the problem. And they all fill different roles on the team. Like, some of these guys are the more experienced guys, and then there's a guy like Halliburton who's kind of the star on an up-and-coming team. I think I would go with Steph, just because it seems like they had a lot to hold together this season, and he had, like, a good season through the storm, but it's hard to go wrong with any of those names.
The thing about Kawhi, and it once won him MVP of the finals, is that people don't tend to take into account defense when we have these conversations. And he had another sensational defensive season. One of the best players in the sport defending the other team's best player. According to Second Spectrum, Leonard held this year's All-Stars to 21.5 points per 100 half-court matchups, the best in the NBA among 99 players who qualified.
Mm.
So we can make that the differentiator. He's doing it on both ends of the floor.
He's also no slouch offensively. He averaged 24 points efficiently.
No, I understand that. But my point is, you could compare a lot of guys' numbers offensively.
Sure.
So if we want to split the difference, he was an elite defender this year.
And they have the best record of any team that isn't represented on your list yet, I believe. So if that's a thing that matters to you, I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
It seems like a good way to break a tie.
At minimum, it does, yeah.
So we're going to go Kawhi. Let's just see how this looks. We're going to go Kawhi Leonard. Okay, so that leaves on our third team. I'm just going to start putting names in. Steph Curry.
Got to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown. I didn't hear you say got to make it.
Probably got to make it.
Tyrese Halliburton?
Might make it.
Well, LeBron.
LeBron James.
Got to make it.
Okay.
LeBron's got to make it.
We put LeBron James on.
So Steph and LeBron so far, right?
Yeah.
So we've got Steph, LeBron. Well, I put Jaylen Brown, but I'm open to taking him
off. Yeah, I think he's eminently qualified.
Give me the next two people you would put on.
I think Halliburton, Sabonis, and Zion. Three guys for those two
How
spots.
How about Wembanyama?
Look, he's just, I think he's easily one of the 15 best players in the sport. He's unbelievable. I think he could easily be argued as third team All-NBA. It's going to be a non-standard opinion. But, I mean, he's the best defensive player in the NBA. and just had a ridiculous offensive season. He made like a couple hundred threes while leading the league in blocks. He's unbelievable. But his team stunk.
Yeah.
They stunk. Yeah. He won't get that much All-NBA love.
All right. So we're going to go Halliburton.
Halliburton, Zion.
And Zion.
And you're including Jaylen Brown, right?
Well, that would include Jaylen Brown, or we take him off and put on Sabonis.
I don't think Sabonis has to be. The double-double streak is impressive, but it's not a has to be.
So that would leave us with the final third team, Steph Curry, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, Tyrese Halliburton, and Zion Williamson.
And that's pretty good.
All right, I will finalize these as the day goes on. I will make sure I feel good about it all, but I'm pleased to do it, and I hope everyone enjoyed sort of hearing how this sausage gets made, because it's interesting, and I'm thrilled to be a voter. Good fun. Enjoy the games tonight, and then we'll be back to break them all down tomorrow. Obviously, tonight is the West games. Tomorrow night is the East. It's going to be fun. See you then. Greeny, ESPN Radio.
Mustache tomorrow, Jack.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.